Again.
I can look back at a time that I was not walking with the Lord directly. And we had a pecan tree in our backyard that was one year just full of pecan. I mean, the branches were just dragging on the ground. And I went out one week and I thought, well, give it another week and they'll be ripe and I'll go out and pick all these pecans for our family to eat and have. And the next week I went out and every single pecan was gone on that tree. The squirrels had taken every single one. I mean, and they were hanging in bunches. And it's just like what we were reading, that everything is taken from you if you're not walking with the Lord.
Well, it wasn't just natural trees either, Howard. There were other things robbing in your life, in relationships and such the like.
Yes, yes, indeed. That's just an example.
Right. Well, brethren, how did you overcome the spirit of the thief in your life? It must have hit you at one time or another.
In the year 2000, on Christmas Eve, I received a phone call from the Schenectady County Health Department that I was being investigated. My apartment was being investigated for lead paint poisoning of one of my tenants, a young child. And it was shortly thereafter that I received notice from one of the big Abramowitz, I can't remember, but the big legal firm that was suing me for $250,000, which obviously would have wiped me out. But you know, after a couple of days, a couple of nights of unrest, I just gave everything over to the Lord. I said, you know, this is a battle that, you know, I can't win on my own. And I just put it in the lap of the Lord and said, whatever your will is, I will submit to. Whether you rescue me or not, it's in your hands. And to make a long story short, many things happened along the way. And well, actually, there was only one insurance company in all of New York State that protected you against lead paint poisoning. And that was New York Central. And the insurance company that I had happened to be New York Central. So they were going to back me. For I don't know how much money in the lawsuit. But anyway, it was 8 years later that we finally got to court, and it was settled out of court. And God just delivered me during that time. And not only that, but it turned out in the end, I was blessed by it because God turned it around. And because of what was happening, I sold a lot of my stocks, my dot-com stocks, which were at the peak at that time, before they cratered. And I ended up selling them because of this lawsuit. Otherwise, I would have lost a lot of money. So what the enemy meant for evil, God turned for good, because I just gave the whole thing to him. And I think when you're under attack like this, you make a decision one way or the other. Are you going to curse God because of what's happening, that he could have avoided these circumstances? Or is it going to cause you to cast yourself and run to him and allow him to do what he does to all his people, that he will ultimately deliver you from all of your troubles and all of your tribulations? That's my story.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the enemy can steal so much from us. And I have a testimony of that thief spirit. And I had a good friend one time that was divorcing his wife. And we were quite good friends. And I was friend to both of them. And one time he called me and said, "Because you are still speaking to me, my ex-wife, I'm not going to speak to you again. I'm not going to count you as a friend anymore." And it was a spirit of lie. It was a spirit of thief that was really touching his life. And he said, "I'm not going to count you as a friend anymore, and I will not contact you anymore." And I told them, "I respect that. It's your choice. You have a right to have that choice. And if you do not count me as a friend anymore, it's your choice, not mine. But remember one thing, I will always be your friend. I will always be in that place. So later on, my friend, if you need me, you know where I am, and you can call me." He didn't call me for 3-4 years or more. Then suddenly I got a phone call from him, and he was going to marry it again. And he wanted me to be coming to his wedding. And he was not a Christian at that time when he was divorcing at the first time. But when we came to the wedding feast, he was marrying a Christian woman. And he got saved. And he is in a little home groups, and really, really burning in his life for his faith. But it is how we deal with, really. If someone comes and steal my car, well, what should I do? Try to find out who it is and say to him, "Well, I cannot let the government punish you for this." I would do that before, but as a Christian, I would go to him and said, "Well, I have a new tire to this car in my garage. Don't you need them too?" Because it would create repentance in his life. If I was able to give him more and he was stealing from me, and he will repent of it and even return it back, what he took. So it is a different matter. But I was touched by when you were reading in John chapter 10 about this man that didn't come through the door, but he climbed up in another way. And it struck me quite good, because I realized that he didn't want to go the right way. He went his own way. He climbed his own way. And when we see this man that was in the wedding feast that had not wedding dress on, what does that story tell us? He didn't have the wedding dress, but he had his own clothes. He had not changed. And one, what we do when we go and change and go into a new dress or new clothes, or we take our shower and we cleanse ourselves in the water, and then we put on new clothes. This man that was in his own clothes, he had not changed. He has not been in water. He had not been cleansed. He had doing it in his own way. We have come to that door and through this door, and we are changed from glory to glory. And when we are changed from glory to glory, it is a transformation that we cannot do ourselves. It's Lord's work in our life. And for me, I met a lot of people through my life. But I see two people, one that they say that they are a Christian and those who are Christian. And there is a people that use the faith for themselves. But then it is a group of people that the faith use them for the owner of the faith. And that is the people that I'm looking at on my screen. You are a people that the faith are using. You are not taking the faith and using it for yourself. The faith have touched your life. And there is a desire that I see through all this meeting that I have been with you. There is a desire to be used by him, not to use him for ourselves. And that is the place where the glory of God is going to rise up. In Jesus' name, I'm thankful for the fellowship with you. And I ask the Lord blessing to you. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Anything more? How you overcome the spirit of the thief?
In John 10, you said it says the enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But I came, Jesus came, that we would have life and have it abundantly. So what really is the enemy after? You know, he's not after material things. He's after our soul. He's after the life that's within us. He's after the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God says, you know, that behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, Paul gave more details about this kingdom of God when he said in Romans 14, I think it's 17, he says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not anything in the natural. The kingdom of God is spiritual. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that's what he's after. He's out to destroy the kingdom within us. This righteousness, if he could bring so much torment and so much trouble upon us to get us to turn from God, you know, then we could lose our salvation. If we curse God, next week, Mark, you're going to talk about Job. Remember Job, Job's wife cursed God and die. See, Satan would like to steal our salvation to begin with. But it's not our salvation. or not, it's not our righteousness. He can't go after our righteousness, because it's not our righteousness. Our righteousness is in Jesus Christ. So if he can't get that, the next thing he's going to go after is our peace. If he could upset us and get us to lose our peace, of course, then we would also lose our joy. And this would be the life that God has given us in abundance. So that's where the battle is in our soul. So again, do not give in to the problems, the tribulations that the enemy would come to bring upon you, but turn to God. He is our salvation. He is our deliverer in our time of need. Do not let the enemy steal from you. In Proverbs, I think it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. So we have to constantly be on guard against the attacks of the enemy. Guard your heart. Amen.
You know, I'm thinking too, maybe you have been in business at one time, had your own business, and you found everything just slowly going downhill, losing here, losing there, until, you know, you began to turn things around and then suddenly found that your way can be prosperous in Him. And by the way, I'm not preaching prosperity doctrine here. That's not what I'm preaching. It's a different thing. It's just that we need to be relieved of the yoke of bondage of the thief.
I just had one little thing to add. Mark read the scripture that said something like the people were associating with the drunken. And we always need to be thinking of the spiritual when we're reading the Bible. And Isaiah gave us the definition of drunken, the spiritual definition of drunken. He said, they err in vision and stumble in judgment. So when the Bible talks about the drunken, it's not necessarily talking about the guys that hang out in the bars or that are heavy drinkers. It's the ones that err in vision and stumble in judgment. And there's a lot of them out there.
Amen. You know, I'm just looking at Jeremy here. I'm thinking about some of the things you've been through in your past that you were affected by the locusts at one time.
Oh, yeah. The thief has taken everything I own at one point. I was thinking about it, and I'm like, where do I even begin? Because, well, at one point in my life, I had a thriving business running. And I, for those that don't know, I used to be a drug addict. And I started doing a lot of drugs, and my life spiraled out of control, and I found myself all the way at the bottom of the, you know, what people would call hitting the bottom. And I wound up in federal prison and doing quite a number of years in federal prison. But that's really where, you know, I all through my drug addiction, I could see the evil all around me. Like the people I associated with, and, you know, just to, what I was doing just to support my drug habit was, I was a thief myself. At the very end, I was going out at night and robbing people and, you know, whatever I could do to get some money. And the Lord really opened my eyes when I went to prison, because up until that time, I knew of the Lord, but I never really took the time to sit down and read the word. And ever since that day that I got locked up, when I went in, I read that Bible religiously, back to back, cover to cover, over and over and over and over. And I still do it to this day. And I'm still getting more and more out of it, you know, all the time. And I can also speak to how the Lord restores people too, because, I mean, literally, I had nothing when I got out of prison, and pretty much my life has been restored. I have a brand new life. I mean, I don't own a house or nothing, but I have a nice place, and I have custody of my son, and I'm working for, well, I'm actually second in command for the biggest masonry construction outfit in the capital region. So I would say the Lord has been quite good to me. But yeah, I've seen the spirit of the thief firsthand, and I just see how, how he operates. I know how he operates, and so I'm always vigilant and watching for the spirit of the thief, because I want to keep him far away from me. So, amen.
Amen.
Any more word here? Anybody else want to unmute and share a little something? Give God the glory. Okay, Rita's coming here. Yeah, go ahead, Vinny. Yeah. Yes,
I think we have to be very sure about which way we are going and where we are looking. I had this dream a few weeks ago before I went to Iceland, that I was dreaming that I was walking at the beach, and I just put my feet into the ocean, just a little bit, my one feet, and suddenly I found myself outside. In deep and underwater, and then I felt that I had to come to the surface, and I had to look around, and I had to find where I should swim to get to the land, and then I was looking around, and I saw where the land was, and then I could start swimming, and then I knew that I was okay, because I knew where I was going. And I felt that was a kind of a warning from the Lord that to don't lose the point, that we have to be careful all the time where we are walking and what we are doing. And I even felt when I was in Iceland, I was in Iceland alone in 3 weeks. And it was a good purpose, because I was going there to help my stepmom, or who was married to my father. She has been having a difficult time after he died, and it was very good. But at the same time, I didn't have the same ability to read in the Word and to be using my time with the Lord, and I felt very strongly that it was very good when I could see the date that I was going back home to Daniel and to our life together with Daniel and in the Lord. So I felt very strong that this was a warning to me, how careful we have to be where we are walking.
Vinny, when you told your dream, I had something come to me. When you said that you put your feet in the ocean, just immediately the Lord brought to my mind, if we dip into the things of the world, even just a little bit, the very next thing you found yourself way out in the ocean. And the scripture came to my mind about Dinah, who was raped. It said she went out to see the women of the land. And next thing you know, she was in trouble. So anyway, that's just what came to me.
I agree with you, Mike. Thank you.
Well, when Jeremy was giving his testimony, as you know, he is my son. And so I've been robbed of my son. I remember standing at a fence and the kids were out playing. And the Lord spoke to me about Abraham and Isaac and how Isaac had to be offered on the altar. And the Lord told me that I needed to put my son on the altar. And I don't know how old you were, Jeremy, at that time, but you were quite young yet. And I thought, okay, Lord, you know, but little did I know what I would have to go through in the next years as Jeremy grew. And I lost my son for a long time, but the Lord restored, and I have my son back now.
Amen.
I don't ever want to lose them again.
Yeah, we won't be going down that road ever again. Ever again.
I will not be moved, huh, Jer?
Not be moved, no way.
That brought back a little remembrance to me, Rita, when you said that. I remember hearing the story about a guy that was, I think he was convicted of murder or some very hard crime. And they were in court and the jury came back and they said they made the guy stand up when they were going to read the verdict. And so this young man stood up and they heard some commotion in the back of the courtroom and everybody turned around and looked and the guy's father stood up too. And it just shows me how we're supposed to care for our children.
Amen.
Well, I'm still waiting for one more to come in. All the way. She's a daughter. She's a hard one. But I'm still waiting. But God is faithful. I don't, even with Jeremy, I said, Lord, I'm not going to believe what my eyes see, nor my ears hear. I'm going to believe you. And that's where I left it. And God restored all the years that were lost. Amen.
What the locust had eaten.
Rita, Isaiah 60, verse 4, lift up your eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together, they shall come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Amen. For all of our children and grandchildren, Lord, bring them to us.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, and we rebuke the spirit of the devourer that has come against some of the wayward of this next second and third generation. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
We rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb. Satan, you stole all you're going to steal. You know, I remember very clearly that day, and I think it was the day that I told you that I got in the car and I began to praise the Lord on the road down to the meeting in Albany. And I remember one of my prayers that I was saying, it just comes to me just now that I had forgotten it until now. And I said, Satan, you have robbed from me the last time. Your ugly hoofs have tread on me the last time. From now on, I'm walking on you. Amen. And you know, it was a beginning, well, maybe not the real beginning, but it was a beginning of when things really began to turn around in my life. Yes, I was robbed, amen, but it began to turn around, and I had at one point lost just about everything that I had. All of my possession I could put on the back end of a pickup truck, but the Lord restored it all, amen. And not because I was looking for riches, simply that he was interested in restoration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I look at all my children, all six of them, I know they're saved. They're not, some of them aren't walking the way they should. But even my grandchildren, I'm beginning to have glimpses of light from them to show me that all is not lost. I was supposed to go in for a procedure last Friday, and I didn't because I ended up sick. But anyway, my granddaughter came up to me and she said, Mimi, I prayed the night before that if the procedure was going to be more harmful, that it would not go forward and it would be stopped. You would not even go and have that procedure done. And the morning came and I was so sick, I couldn't go on with it. But I guess my point is, God shows you, they're praying. They're praying, even when we think, you know, give me that glimmer of hope, that glimmer of light. And I believe that for the sake of the righteous, God is going to answer our prayer.
Amen.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And our children and our children's children, and I pray to the 10th generation that all will be saved. Mm-hmm. And I believe it. Call me foolish, call me whatever, but I believe that God will do it. I believe it in my heart.
Amen.
Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen.
You know, Satan has 13 weapons. Did you know that? Thievery is one of them. Somebody said that, you remember old brother Hoyer from Pinecrest? He was a teacher of the word. Supposedly he was, we only met him that one time, I think, that he came with Seth, when Seth came to preach to us at our building. But Hoyer, brother Hoyer, said that, used to tell the students at that Bible school that Satan has 13 weapons, but he would never tell them what they were. And one day I sat down and I said, I'm going to have to find out what these 13 are. And what was it, about 3 or 4 years ago, I brought that message to the Czech brethren, Satan's 13 weapons. Maybe I should do it again sometime. But the spirit of the thief is one of them. There's another spirit, by the way, it's not necessarily one of his 13 weapons, but there's another spirit that I was thinking of the other day when I was looking into the spirit of the thief, and it's the spirit of, where is it? It's here in, the spirit of the vagabond. The spirit, a fugitive and a vagabond. You know where that came from? That was Cain. Cain, spirit of the vagabond. If any of you have ever had a ministry of any kind in the inner city and minister to people, you're going to find the spirit of the vagabond. Many, many of the people that got involved in sin and all that in the inner city. Spirit of the vagabond, can't settle one place to another, just being driven everywhere, never able to prosper, thief after them all the time. So if you know anybody that's taken by that spirit, and by the way, that is a very, very difficult spirit to bring deliverance to. A very stubborn spirit that holds on to people. And maybe you can look back in your life and say, boy, but for the grace of God, I was headed that way. And the Lord delivered me from that spirit of the vagabond and the, what is it, the vagabond and the fugitive.
I can confirm that. I see that every day in the inner cities that I deal with. And the people, so many of them are homeless. Others are just hanging out like in small groups, gangs. And they all need the Lord. And, you know, I try to do as best I can with the tracks and talking to these people. But it is a spirit that's holding them captive. But God is able to minister to them and, you know, deliver them.
Well, Larry, over the years, we've hired people of that spirit. Mm. Not only when we built the house, but when we worked for Nathan, we'd go down there to the city mission. We'd hire these men. Remember, went down there one time, man had promised he was going to work for us, went down to pick him up. He was gone, disappeared, just vanished. So what happened to the guy? Oh, I don't know. He wandered off. Well, we had a job for him.
Now, I remember the people coming out of prison. Remember Jerry Cordata and I would go into the Schenectady city jail? And the people that came out of prison, just like Jeremy, they had their lives changed. A couple of them came to our church for a while, Mark. Remember the Spanish?
Yeah.
And it was God that delivered them from the life of crime once they were in prison. So God is well able to know who is his and bring them out of that life. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Well, this has been a good meeting. We'd be always happy to hear from some of you quiet ones. Surely you must have something good to share. You're there drinking it in, but we'd like to hear from you again sometime too.
Before we close, I wanted to discuss the songbook. I don't know what happened, Opie, but I know I sent Glory the songbook and the index on my laptop. So it must have came out okay, but I didn't have the email addresses of the other brethren who had requested the old songbook. I wanted to send it to all them, and I didn't have their email, so I used Mark's laptop. So I don't know what happened. He has the new one in there and the same thing, but I can resend it on mine.
All right, well, who got it from my laptop? Howard, you got it from my laptop.
You check yours? Jeremy, I sent you
was
one.
Was it complete?
Can I respond?
Sure.
Okay, I discovered that is the iPad with which I opened it. It wants that the download is going to come out differently. So I'm going to use my laptop to open it. So it will be fine. I believe the problem came from the iPad.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So no problem.
Because I didn't, I just couldn't understand it. I'm like,
no, some of
delete that old one because I don't want any getting mixed up. Just delete the old index and the old songbook because it's changed.
Okay, some of you didn't get it. If you decide you want it, send me an email and I will send it to you.
Also, I've been thinking about this for a while. Is there anybody out there who plays an instrument, like a piano or a guitar? Because sometimes I'm struggling here with my voice and I don't want to rob you brethren of, you know, of the praise. So if there's anybody that can take my place sometimes, I would appreciate it, or just bear with me. I'm not the best piano player. I kind of got thrust into it, but I guess the Lord knows. So I'm open if anybody, you know, and if we can't, if there's a song that you have and it's not in our book and you can lead it, it's no problem. I can just be quiet, mute me, and let somebody else sing. You know, it doesn't have to always be me. So I'm just laying it out there because sometimes my voice is not where it should be. And but I don't want to rob from you if somebody can do it a better, you know, at the time. So
God bless you, sister. That's a good one. God bless you. Somebody will.
I know Patty's a very good singer, but like me, probably her voice struggles too as we're getting older. So as long as we're okay, I'm okay. But I'm just saying, I'm not, if anybody wants to, just let me know.
Glory to God. My job too, anytime.
You have I was just saying that Glory loves to sing and she sings very well.
Glory what?
Glory loves to sing and she sings very well. So she
can
be
okay. Blessing, I have asked Glory more than once if she plays an instrument or
okay, she doesn't play an instrument, but she sings.
Oh, okay.
So she can just sing, maybe not play, okay. But she can sing, yeah.
Well, if my voice gets really bad, I will call upon Glory.
She was hiding. I had to call her out. So
exactly. God bless you.
It'll probably be without the piano, though, because we can't have two screens open at once. It doesn't work. So, but that's okay, too.
She can handle it.
Yeah.
No. Yes.
I'm not good at the instrument, no music. And when I'm singing, Winnie have to go outside so the neighbor don't think she's beating me.
I just wanted to encourage you, Rita, that you're doing a really good job, I think. I've been really blessed by the abilities you've gleaned in the time that you've been, you know, out in New York.
I'm
so
shut this recording off.
Bless the Lord.
Well, thank you, Patty, for that encouragement.